From lessons of the Mid-Klamath region, we transition to lessons from Standing Rock, North Dakota. Your comments and questions are always welcome on The Exchange. You can join this conversation by phone at 800-838-3760 or drop your thoughts off at jx@jeffnet.org. It's been a year since the North Dakota Access Pipeline broke ground, a year that brought many thousands of people together in opposition to that project. Three of those people join us now about their reasons for going to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and how the lessons of that resistance resonate in our region. Rod Lindsay is director of the Local Indians for Education Center in Shasta Lake and a member of the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians. Hi, Rod.
Good morning.
You've been actively involved in your community for nearly 50 years. You went to Standing Rock in December. Tell us why you brought young people with you.
Well, I think it's important to have one of the things for me, it's always been to engage our young people. As being Native American myself, with the Miwok and the Paiute people, it's important for me, and I've always felt, to make sure that our youth are involved, in that they get a chance and opportunity to be able to go to events or go to witness causes or be able to be live with something so that they can better understand who they are, where they come from, with their heritage. You know, our youth, we work with all of youth up and down the state of California, so it's important for them to be able to have a chance. It would have been nice to take a busload, but two or three for them to be able to come back with a message of what they did, it's going to resonate and be a part of their life forever. They'll never forget that their time in Standing Rock.
So you went there in the end of December. Did you bring a busload with you?
No. We just took, there was, we had six people scheduled to go, and it turned to that we wound up taking five. We had two teenagers, and then we had two of our younger adults that went back with us, and then myself.
And when you went there, just to catch folks up, this was at the end of December, shortly after a federal agency effectively put the brakes on the DAPL pipeline, saying it would launch a lengthier environmental review. This conversation is timed with events last week when President Trump signed an executive order to speed up just such environmental reviews and approvals for large-scale infrastructure projects. That same day, he also put out a presidential memorandum signaling support for the construction of the North Dakota Access Pipeline. Rod, do you think you'll be back to show support again?
Well, we'll continue. I don't know if I'm going to go back there physically, but we'll continue to support on the front lines here in our region here in Northern California. We had a gathering the other night that brought some people back from the organization, and from going back there to Standing Rock. And of course, it was one of those things about giving the message again. But physically, what we'll do is support and stand in line, with the people here, and doing whatever we can do to support, by writing letters or phone calling our legislators and that, and being involved in that political way. But, right now, when we decided to go and then that action came about, we were ready to go. We had to go. So when we get back there, here we are, and we're supporting and doing what we're supposed to do. The people were still hunkered down. The people
you
were
have
still
reached the maximum time.
I'm sorry about that, Rod. Keep going.
Okay, and so it's just one of those things that we had committed to, so the whole change didn't change our mind about going back there. There's still people there. There's still 2,000 people on that in those camps when we went back there at the end of December. So it's still now it's going to be a wait and see. All of these things just got to have time to play out. We support whatever the Sioux Nation, the Standing Rock Tribe, is wanting to do and how they're going to work with this. This is Native way. This is what we need to do. So it's always been from day one the idea of how Native American handles situations and fights the battles, whether it's political more now than it ever has been, so we have that opportunity to be able to still continue to do these things. Here in Northern California, we have other causes that are going on that's similar to that. Medicine Lake, with thermal issues there around Mount Shasta, raising of the dam here in California. So there's a number of things that on the forefront that we as an organization, and I'm talking about our youth programs, still have to be taught to stand and to support and to navigate through whatever it is that we have to do to understand these things so that we can carry on and be backing some of these issues and concerns for Indian people in Indian country.
What did you see when you went in late December to a camp at Standing Rock?
Well, we saw a lot. You know, I saw what I saw myself personally was going back in time, was going back to,
Rob, you're fading out. Could you stay by your phone with us?
Okay. Going back there, what we saw was for me, the vision of the past, was a tribe that was still fighting the battles, whether it be the Battle of Little Bighorn or the Standing Rock Battle. So that's the vision that I had in my mind, was to go back there. It was almost like if I was standing there and the spirit of Crazy Horse was right beside me. Now, I being older, I'm going to maybe think like that. The younger ones maybe wouldn't think like that. But that's the things that I say to them and let them know that this is how we really understand that, is going back into history. So being on that land was purposeful for five of us. Although we come from a small community, but it was big for our community to be able to be engaged. And so when we drive up there and cross the Cannonball River, it was so exciting, and I was so blessed to see all the teepees and see all them covered with the snow, to see all of these things in the dead of winter. We were there. We were there just like it was the Battle of Little Bighorn. That's how I was looking at it. I saw support. I saw this feeling from the people there on that land who were there and engaged, and this was a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for people to be able to be there. The outcome, we don't know what it's going to be, but we are still going to continue to support what it was when we got there and do whatever at the level that we can to do it the best way and do it in a good way for our Indian people.
Listening to Rod Lindsay, he's director of the Local Indians for Education Center in Shasta Lake, talking about his experience bringing support to protesters in Standing Rock, North Dakota. I want to bring Caroline Running Wolf into this conversation. Caroline is a documentary filmmaker and a member of the Crow Nation. Welcome.
Hi, Emily.
We're so glad.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you back. We spoke with you last in December, shortly before the Army Corps of Engineers announced it would not approve the final easement for the pipeline to cross the Missouri River. The political climate since then has changed quite a bit. Could you tell us about the last time you were at one of the camps in Standing Rock?
So we were at the camp from middle of November till middle of December. We were there when the great news broke and participated in the honor songs and happy rejoicing. And we haven't been there directly at the camps. We have been in Eagle Butte in South Dakota in January, but didn't make it up to the camp since. I am in touch with people there, though, and it's been quite a roller coaster ride for everybody ever since the inauguration and the signing of executive orders.
Right. And so a couple of executive orders dealing specifically, one executive order dealing with expediting environmental reviews and a couple signaling of presidential memoranda, signaling support for the construction of pipelines. As a filmmaker, Caroline, are you gearing up to return to the camps, or do you have a sense of what might be next?
For the camps, it's right now it's a difficult situation because they're also trying to prepare for the spring flooding. Mm-hmm. And a big part of the larger camp, so not the original Sacred Stone camp, but the Ocheti Shakoin camp, is in the floodplain. And so right now what's happening is that different helper groups as well as tribal organizations are helping to clean up as much as possible of the non-occupied lodges and make sure that they leave the area, the floodplain area, in a good way so that the water doesn't get polluted by any trash or whatever.
Mm, so it seems as though people are preparing to leave the area.
Yes, they're but not leaving the camp as such. They're just leaving the floodplain area and going to the higher ground.
You're listening to Caroline Running Wolf. Also with us is Rod Lindsay. Rod, you direct an education center in Shasta Lake. It brings young people and young Native people in particular together. Last weekend, there was an event to talk about the lessons from Standing Rock and also address how they may resonate locally in some of the infrastructure projects in our region that could pose threats to the environment and ancestral lands. Can you tell us about how that event went and what were the projects of concern that came up?
Well, the event went well, and to me, it was it's part of healing. For people to express, you know, their own personal thoughts and ways that they and how they went to Standing Rock and then come home with what they had, the energy, they come back to be able to share the stories. That's what our elders teach us. You know, you listen, you watch, you feel, you touch, you go, and then you bring back that message. That activity that they had down there, I'm going to say maybe 200 people showed up. I think it was overwhelming. And it was a great event. Good speakers, people talked about things. But locally here, too, I mentioned just a while ago about dealing with the raising of Shasta Dam, because it's going to also come in and take lands away from the Native American people, their spiritual lands, their burial lands, their ceremonial lands. They'll cover that up. Years ago, when the dam come in, there was there was a little small community down below the dam now that's covered up. But there was a lot of Indian people, the Wintu people from this area here, the Winnemem Band, the Winnemem people from the McLeod River down to this way here. They were displaced. They had to bring their bodies back up to higher ground here, you know. But mm-hmm. So there's that part of it there. And then the thermal energy over on Medicine Lake side is to take that and to drill down, to bring out the energy. You know, these things are going on now in our community. That's what was talked about there, the support, the standing for people and giving the support. You know, if there's causes out there and you feel energized to be able to project and say that you want to work with this and you're going to help this, this is what we need to do. This is what we teach our kids here at the center, not to be radical or anything else like that, but doing it in a good way. The Indian people in today's world are still fighting the battles of what started many, many years ago. Not saying that, hey, the world was without all of these things, but today we do it a different way. Today our kids are getting educated. Today our people are learning to become more involved in that legal aspect and knowing what it is. And this is what we need to do. Every day, 3 days a week, we have a little talking circle, and we talk about the things that are going on in the world today, and this is part of it. We had a good meeting the other night, and like I say, it was overwhelming. It was heartening, it was honest, it was factual, and it was powerful. So that's how that meeting turned out. And so I think that what's going on in the world and in the country today, that more and more of people. I work here, this center is working with five generations of people, which is really good, because I always tell these kids, I said, I knew your grandparents or I knew your parents.
Mm.
And so these are the kinds of energies that I want to give to them, because you know what? It's going to continue.
Right.
We are going to continue to have this resiliency and this power that we have to be able to be fascinated by all this thing here and have the strength to stand and be proud of who we are.
Rod Lindsay has been involved in community life there in Shasta County for the past 48 years. Rod, I'd like to go to a call here. We have Malia in Orleans on the line. Hi, Malia.
Hi.
Welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you. Yes, I'm enrolled in the Confederated Tribes of Sluts Indians, and I'm part of the Yurok, Wasco, and Hoopa tribes in Northern California. And I just returned from Standing Rock, and I was there for about 2 months. And, I'm just now getting back into dealing with the issues that we're having here in Northern California on our river, on the Klamath River.
What did you see in those 2 months at Standing Rock?
Oh, it was the most incredible experience of my life. I'm a young person, so it opened my eyes to seeing the Native people come together for this fight, and it was just the most incredible experience. You know, the we were really inspired by the peaceful, prayerful protests that these Native people held in this camp, and that inspired us to come bring that home and use that with our people. And yeah, originally we went there to cook for the people, and the Yurok tribe, the Yurok Hoopa, and Kaduk tribes, our traditions are to cook for the people at ceremonies. The women, they have big kitchens, and we hold big kitchens for the people, and we cook for hundreds and hundreds of people. And so it was really, we were seeing it like a ceremony and bringing those kitchens there. And so while we were there, we cooked for thousands of people on some weekends, and it was just beautiful to be able to feed the people. And after being there for many weeks, you know, we started to get more involved with the actions that were being planned and the actual fight that was being held against the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so...
So now your eyes, you say your eyes are open. What's next? We've just got a few seconds remaining. Milaya from Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's next is we're bringing this fight home. You know, we still stand in solidarity with Standing Rock. We just had an action the other day in Eureka, California, in Arcata. And so now we're bringing that home to help the peaceful, prayerful protest, to help fight the issues on the Klamath River, such as dredge mining, undamming the Klamath River. You know, we have the Iron Gate Dam,
right,
is right above us, but there's four more above that.
Malia, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing your call and your story.
You.
Thanks to Rod Lindsay from the Local Indians for Education Center in Shasta Lake. And thank you to Caroline Running Wolf, a documentary filmmaker. These have been their lessons from Standing Rock. We hope to hear from you all again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. More coming up on the Jefferson Exchange after a short break.